This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Welcome in Bay Area. I am Michael Urban, and I don't want to say we're stuck with each other. We are blessed with each other's presence for the next 4 hours, after which blessings upon blessings continue to come in the form of Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson for Warriors Live, taking you into Dwayne Wade's last appearance ever at Oracle Arena. Unless, of course, he ends up on the Eastern Conference Champions and they play the Warriors. I'm thinking that's probably not going to happen. Again, I am Michael Urban, and you are so kind to be listening in to the program. Be kinder still and chime in to the program. I'll give you reasons why shortly. Now I'll give you the actual numbers to call us, which is always my preferred method of communicating with the audience. That would be 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. If you only have time to whip us off a text, I will make time to check the Chilton Auto Body text line in to reach that. It's 95795. All right. That's the particulars of how to reach us and how I will reach you. I am now going to give you our guest list, and I'm going to explain the relevance of each guest. Shouldn't really have to explain the relevance of a guest, but with the first one, I feel like I need to because it's all new. We're going to be talking with Din Man, who the former head of editorial for MLB.com, which became Advanced Media Tech, which became like the biggest, most successful online entity ever. His name is Din Man. He saved me from the unemployment heap when my company folded back in, boy, what was that? 2001. I was senior writer and editor for Final4.net. We contracted, the company I worked for, Quokka, contracted with the NCAA and did their men's tournament. Actually, both tournaments, men's and women, and just like we had done NBCOlympics.com. This editor of MLB.com happened to be a huge college basketball fan, so he was reading my stuff almost every day. Had never met him. He didn't know me. I didn't know him. And then he hears Quokka folded. And less than 12 hours after I found out my job was gone, I get a phone call from Din Man saying, hey, I've got an opening. You want to cover the A's? Yeah, okay. That was the shortest time of unemployment ever. Ended up being a great thing. And now Din Man has moved on from MLB.com, and he's in a very similar role with, wait for it, the Alliance of American Football. Now, before you laugh and start thinking about He Hate Me and the XFL and Vince McMahon and Hulk Hogan playing middle linebacker. No, he never did that. This is a legit league. If you saw the opener last night, they opened their 10-week regular season, and then late April the 27th, I believe, they'll have the championship game. The XFL wanted to compete with the NFL. That's not what this league is doing. The Alliance of American Football, there are a million things I love about this league, and we're going to be talking with Din Man about that for just a little bit, but that's the only guest I need to explain the relevance to you. Ira Winderman, he covers the Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. So you know the relevance there. Dwayne Wade is one of the all-time greats. And I don't know that everybody would agree with that. But if you look at his record, that guy has played virtually every role you can play. I mean, he's been the hotshot youngster. He's been the salty, savvy vet. He's been everything in between. He's played with huge stars. He's put teams on his back. And he's all done it pretty quietly without getting in trouble. And then he married Gabrielle Union, which is Hall of Fame material as well. And certainly Dwayne Wade's going to be in the Hall of Fame someday. Do I need to tell you why we're talking to Kerry Crowley of Bay Area News Group? He covers the Giants. What's going on with the Giants? Well, the smartass would say nothing. Same as it's been ever since the new GM came aboard, which is pretty unfair, actually. Farhan Zaidi is a very good executive, in case you haven't brushed up on his history. He's done some very good things in the game, most recently with the Dodgers, and I think they were in the World Series last couple of years. So job well done there. Now, doesn't have nearly the cupboard full that he inherited with the Giants, but the reason they are in the news, as we all know, is they are in, unexpectedly, quite surprisingly, the Bryce Harper sweepstakes. Or is Scott Boras, Harper's agent, just using them as leverage? Boras is really good at coming up with mystery teams, and I think the Giants were going to be one of those mystery teams until Larry Bear got spotted at a casino in Vegas, and a fan took a selfie, and all of us geniuses out here put two and two together and said, hey, Bryce Harper lives in Vegas, doesn't he? Why the hell would Larry Bear be in Vegas if not to speak with Bryce Harper? So it turns out that's what he was doing. Bruce Bochy was there. Farhan was there. Remember, Bryce Harper turned down a $300 million contract. 10 years, $300. It's a nice, clean number, don't you think? $30 million a season for the next 10 years. And he'll only be 36 when that contract expires. No, stop. Here's my first borderline controversial statement of the day. There is a mild form of collusion going on. Now, I think there's almost always a mild form of collusion going on somewhere in professional sports. And if there is one going on right now in Major League Baseball, and I suspect there is, I applaud it. Not that I'm saying salaries are out of hand, or I mean, I guess I am saying that in a way, but that's too shallow of an approach to this, because as you'll always hear from economic professors and whatnot, scholars, it's all supply and demand. If they're paying some cat $35 million to swing a bat, they can afford it. Nobody is going into bankruptcy or the poorhouse by giving out fat contracts. You might end up over the, what do they call it, the competitive balance tax. Instead of the luxury tax, each league calls it something different. But he turned down, here's the significant point, he turned down 10 years of $30 million a season. And as we all know, baseball contracts are guaranteed. It's not like he could break an ankle in game four and they cut him. Not how it's going to happen. As soon as he puts his name on paper, he gets $300 million and he said no. What kind of stones is that? Talk about betting on yourself. Yeah, I think I can get more. So here's the mild form of collusion. And this is why, see, I don't think it's necessarily salary-based. Look, we're going to see a $40 million a year baseball player at some point. It's inevitable. But where I think the owners or GMs have kind of banded together here, just said, you know what? No 10-year contracts anymore. We need to stop that. It's ridiculous. Albert Pujols is going to be paid. I know he was in the top 10 last year in salary, top five, I believe. Not a top five player, is he? No. Because free agency, you generally pay people for what they've done before they became a free agent, which is why I am all for the number of years a player must put in before being eligible for free agency. I would like to see that dialed back to four. I don't think teams should have to pay a guy for what he did with another team. It's one thing to re-sign your own player. Like, say they wanted to extend Mad Bum instead of trade him, which is what some people want to do. Fine, pay him for what he did in the past, because he did it for you. But you bring in a new free agent and give him a fat deal because they were really good up to that point. You're paying for someone else's success after it happened. Kind of odd. So I do think the owners have gotten together and said, you know what, let's max out deals for pitchers at, let's call it 6 years for now and see how that works. And no more than 7 years for a position player. I even contend that there's many, many teams out there that would overpay in the short term to avoid having to go to that fifth, sixth, seventh year. I threw this out to Jim Cozumel yesterday. We were on together, and I said, you think a team would be okay with, I don't know, $100 million for 2 years or 3 years for Harper? He's not going to want that. Boris isn't going to want that. But if that's the best he can get, that's the best he can get. I think that's more palatable to teams because you look at the Pujols contract in particular, and he ain't worth anything close to that in the whole second half of his contract. I'll get the specifics during the break. He's a shell of what Albert Pujols was. That was a regrettable deal. They have not won a World Series. I'm of the mind that no matter how big, no matter how long of a deal you give a guy, the main reason you sign anybody is to help you win a World Series. So no matter how bad everyone thinks the contract was, if that dude won a ring or two while under that contract, then you were smart for giving him the contract. Mission accomplished. Championship won. My boy Zito is the most glaring example of this. He signed a 7-year deal and was awful for most of it. But he had that incredible game that saved their season in St. Louis in the NLCS. And then he beat Justin Verlander in game one of the World Series. And all was forgiven. He helped the Giants get a ring. There's no disputing that. So, good contract? I say yes. And not because it's my guy. And I may have gotten a free suit or a few drinks out of it. You sign guys to win championships. Bryce Harper is still on the table. I'm going to want to get your thoughts on that. We're absolutely going to talk about the Warriors, not just Dwayne Wade coming to play the Warriors, but what other teams around the Warriors have done at the trade deadline. The Lakers couldn't get it done. That is good for Ball. I also contend good for Ball. The four teams in the East that are the biggest threat, they all got better. That is going to be one hell of a second round in the Eastern Conference playoffs. I will explain why the East is now the beast on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Did you win or lose money yesterday in the Alliance of American Football's inaugural game? Did you bet that? You degenerate. You did not really bet that, did you? If you didn't and you watched, I'll bet you're betting today. I'll bet you liked what you saw yesterday. We are going to go Bryce Harper Appalooza at some point. We've got a million things to talk about with the Warriors. But I figured I'd be a little bit different to kick off the show because I actually dig what the Alliance of American Football is and wants to be. We're going to be speaking with Din Mann, who was the head of content at MLB.com for a good long time. He turned that into an absolute monster. And so the Alliance, which is what the AAF likes to be called, made the smart move of contacting Din Mann and saying, can you help us with our digital side? And so he is. We'll be talking with Din very shortly. Do we have Din? We do. Din Mann, what's going on, man? How are you?
Big Herb. I'm doing great.
Yeah? So what do I call you? What is your title? Are you just a content consultant at this point?
Din or Din Mann. Those are good titles.
Okay.
But I go by head of content, and it involves marketing and operations, so it's content and marketing operations. Camo, head of camo. How about that?
There you go. I like that. Head of camo, Din Mann, formerly the King Kong of content at the wildly successful MLBAM, MLB.com, a whole bunch of properties under that umbrella. Din, what appeals to you about the Alliance of American Football? We'll swap answers to that question. You go first.
I appreciate the question. I appreciate you having me on. Michael, we had, there's a lot of things about it that were appealing. It starts with the fact that it's Charlie Ebersol and it's his brainchild, and he knew that he needed to have credible football, not just credible football, but quality football.
Right. And sorry to interrupt, Din, but just in case people out there don't know, Charlie is the son of legendary TV executive Dick Ebersol of NBC.
Yes, of NBC and SNL and all sorts of sports properties, the Olympics. And, I mean, just a legendary path and just a wonderful advisor and guide to his son. And he had said to Charlie back in the day, Charlie went to him. He was doing a documentary on a previously unsuccessful spring football effort. And in doing the documentary, Charlie met some people. Among those was Tom Feet. And Tom, along with another Bay Area resident, Barrett Fogle, were a couple of the first early key people in terms of crafting a vision for what this thing would be. So Charlie met Tom in the course of doing his documentary, and he said, pulled Tom off to the side and wound up striking up a friendship and having conversation about if this were to happen again, what would it need to look like? And what they discussed was that the other enterprises weren't about forming a football league. They weren't really about having football on the field that looked great and that acted great and that met the eye test, the smell test, and everything else.
It was entertainment more than sport.
Well, it was. It was a lot of marketing glitz. This is why you put somebody like me on the marketing side, because it's less about sort of the fancy traditional bells and whistles of marketing and much more about sort of the pure sincerity and authenticity of the product you're putting on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I really believed in his approach to going and getting Bill Polian as his co-founder. They wound up having breakfast in Cape Cod back in the day and not too long back in the day, just less than 2 years ago. And they kicked this around for 4 to 5 hours. And when they got back together, when Charlie called his father and said, not only did Bill Polian support the idea, he wants to be my co-founder and head up football. So Bill was charged with and embraced and pursued that vision for creating a football league that would be complementary to the NFL and that would supply a pipeline of not only players, but of officials and of coaches and other folks to keep the industry on its toes and effective at its very best. So you basically have what had been lacking, a laboratory for football and a developmental place for football players and coaches to get the reps that they need to turn heads and to become and to achieve the dream that they may have. I'll take a guy like Tony Romo as a decent example of an undrafted free agent who went on to have a great career. Everyone talks about Kurt Warner and people who went through this path where he was stocking groceries and doing all sorts of other things. But there was a guy like Romo who was an undrafted free agent and became a part of the Cowboys because Sean Payton happened to go to his college and said, let's take a chance on this guy. And all of a sudden he became this, the great player that he was and now the great broadcaster that he is. So this is really about having a launching pad for players and giving them an extended opportunity to prove themselves and to get some guidance and to get some game film. I saw a really good tweet today from one of the accounts that sort of tracks players in the diamonds in the rough kind of an account with thousands upon thousands of followers, and talking about, you're much better off as a player getting reps in a quality league like this than you are sitting on your couch and hoping you can turn your heads on a practice squad or in a training camp. So many would argue that this is better than being on a practice squad. And I guess the great validation of the league has come somewhat in the form of the NFL and NFL Network carrying two games a week for the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's huge. And the fact that they had a national contract in hand with CBS, they're doing all their games too, right?
CBS did the opening game last night in San Antonio. We had just a touch under 30,000 fans there, and they were into every snap, and it was just a beautiful thing to see. And CBS Sports Network will carry a game today that starts in just about a half hour at Birmingham.
The Memphis Express and the Birmingham Iron.
Great, great names. Not only great names of the teams and great colors and uniforms, and the Iron are sort of a little bit more like almost a sister team of the Steelers in that Iron was a big part of what put Birmingham on the map. But they also have this style of play, and they have this helmet, this black and white uniform, and this helmet that's black, matte black with no logo on the helmet. I mean, it's just a very Steelers/Browns flavor of that fits, we think, that part of the country, and also fits Tim Lewis and what he's about. He's a great coach. He's getting his shot to be a coach at the professional level, and he was magnificent as a coordinator and just wonderful with people. And Coach Singletary, who had a terrific run as a player with the Bears, obviously, and had some success with the 49ers, getting another crack at this and being as excited and connected and grounded as he is. It's a great combination of players with a chip on their shoulder and something to prove, and coaches who have a slow heartbeat and yet still something in their mind, some kind of unfinished business. And then the game itself, as having the NFL embrace it as, you know, there's some things that we'd like to try that maybe make more sense. And obviously, with a guy like Polian as a brain to pick, with access to the other GMs in the league that he still has great relationships with, you know, there's that opportunity to take some things and try them out. Like, the kickoff is a good example. We don't have kickoffs.
Mm-hmm. The voice you hear is that of Din Mann. He is the head of content for the Alliance of American Football. They are commonly referred to, it is commonly referred to as the Alliance. Din was the former head of content and all great things at MLB.com, talking about the Alliance. It's opening weekend for them. Din, one of the things where there's two things that struck me about this immediately. One, I love that they're not trying to compete against the NFL. Only two of their eight teams are in NFL markets. Look, if they can become the G League for the NFL, am I speaking out of turn by saying that would be an ideal situation for them?
Oh, I think ideal. Maybe overstating it just a little bit, but what the vision really is, that it's complementary is the word that everybody keeps using, mm-hmm. at the NFL level and here, that it's an extension of the season. It's a bridge to the season, and it's discovery of players, but it's the kind of thing that's already going on in the NFL at the practice squad level. They're just not playing real games like this.
Right.
You know, they're not getting that kind of action and activity. So, you know, and you could argue that there's a way for this thing to expand that may be beyond our wildest dreams to some extent, because you look at the technology that's being applied at this level, because it's so uncomplicated by any institutional baggage whatsoever, that there is a landscape there to develop product and to develop solutions related to this sport and perhaps other sports and forms of entertainment that make it a very exciting proposition for anyone who's considering getting involved. And so that's really what we love about it. There's a warm embrace at the NFL level, and those are smart people who run the NFL and who own NFL teams. And there, it's a small world, as you know,
mm-hmm.
Michael. You know, these folks are all constantly in a what have you done for me constantly kind of an environment. But the thing about Charlie is that he just has this approach of the gratitude for the opportunity and the chance to impact lives and make a difference. And you see that going on the field, and you also see it going on off the field. And I don't know that you can really put this thing in any kind of a box yet. I think that the reality is that it has a flexibility to it, but it also has a focus, that the quality of the product has to be sound,
mm-hmm.
and that the technology is important. So, I mean, for your listeners, maybe especially, you know, this is a thing that's in San Francisco as a headquarters for a reason. It's not just, you know, in the typical places or in the typical spaces in terms of what it's trying to become. Technology is a really important part of what we're developing and where this is headed, and that makes it very exciting.
Again, the voice you hear is that of Din Mann. He's the head of content for the Alliance of American Football, which, well, I can't say it kicked off this weekend because they don't have kickoffs. I did watch the opener last night, and again, it struck me. And I was talking with my friends Boyd and Maggie Robinson, and they were asking me all about the league, like, well, where do they get the players from, and who decides who goes where? That's where I think the Alliance has really knocked it out of the park in year one, because if you played ball in the area, the general area that AAF team happens to be in, you get allocated to that team. So therefore, like, let's take the Birmingham Iron, for instance. Guys who are at Auburn and Alabama, or maybe even the smaller schools, sure, they're not household names, but people in that region of the country know those guys. They watch them in college, and they want to follow them in their next step, and they'll be pulling for them as they try to put that tape together and get to the NFL.
Well, you're right. As an alumnus of Baylor University, sitting in the Alamo Dome last night watching Orion Stewart intercept a pass and return it, you know, almost 70 yards was it was a moment of pride for people who attended my little alma mater on I-35. And that's true of every player in this alliance, that they have these connections to the communities in which they're playing. In Florida, for Steve Spurrier to be coaching a team in Orlando, that was a big part of what persuaded him to take part in the first place.
Sure.
But in the second place, a chance to pull in players from UCF and from Florida State and from Florida and Miami. And so you got players from the U playing with guys from Florida State and Florida, and you think, okay, that's a pretty interesting roster. In San Antonio, you have players playing from Texas A&M and Texas and Baylor and Oklahoma. Not Oklahoma, but they have players from UT and players from Texas A&M, players from Baylor, players from University of Houston. And it's a really interesting combination. And you start to look at the other regional ties, some of these teams, with LSU players playing up in Memphis along with Tennessee players and Vanderbilt players and Memphis players. It's an interesting regional compilation of names that we're not talking about people who are undersized and a step slow. You're talking about people who are all-conference, all-American, bowl players, Division II people who just didn't get the time and the attention to really show themselves. But you're talking about 40 times that are right there with what you see at the combine. So this is just a much larger and organized combination of combines and practice squads that legitimately gives these kids and these young men a chance to play at the professional level. Someone asked whether these teams could compete against, say, Clemson, Alabama, and anybody at that sort of the top of the heap of college football. And the response we get back from a scouting standpoint is that these teams would embarrass the teams in the Alliance of American Football would embarrass those teams.
Right. I've heard it's akin to the number twos on NFL rosters playing against each other.
I think it's a lot like that, Michael, and I also think that it's about not just the number two types, but it's also about them being men instead of guys attending college. And when it becomes about feeding your family and it becomes about your career and whatever your life is beyond that, you play in a different way and you play with a little bit of it. You play with a different urgency and you have a year-round commitment to it and you have professional coaches really guiding you. And it's not just this churn and this treadmill of a recruiting process. So it is an interesting intersection that maybe has been vitally missed for again, players who have that all conference and all America and bowl game type of resume to really go to graduate school for football and to get discovered in ways that they didn't have a platform to get discovered in before. So we have a great opportunity to influence and provide some kind of a springboard for these young men. And I can't even say even close to how grateful I am for this.
And one of the texts that just rolled in here, Din, we're talking with Din Mann, the head of content at the Alliance of American Football, which started their season yesterday. You can catch the Birmingham Iron hosting the Memphis Express. That's on CBS Sports today, correct?
CBS Sports Network. And then after that, this evening on NFL Network, you have the Arizona Hotshots playing host to the Salt Lake Stallions. Dennis Erickson's coaching the Stallions and Rick Neuheisel's coaching the Hotshots. And man, you see the energy in these guys just from the first whistle. It's interesting to see that already. I don't know if you caught Coach Spurrier last night, but he was mic'd up and he was fantastic. One of the clips that got the most traction was he was overheard saying, "Tell him to catch the ball this time." So play for a certain receiver, and it was just great. He was just so energized, and it was awesome to see.
So here's the text that came rolling in from the 925. I really liked what I saw last night with the AAF. From the deconstructed replay process to the opportunity for young players to showcase talent. Good guest, Herbs. You got labeled as a good guest, Dan. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know what? I'm not going to let it go to my head, just like I'm not going to let the ratings from last night go to my head. I'm appreciative of that, and we still have a long way to go. But last night did give an indication of a couple of things. It gave an indication of the talent that a lot of these players have. You had a test of officials to see things in real time and to the pace of the game. It's a 35-second clock, and those 5 seconds make a big difference. The game moves, and there are not long, awkward commercial breaks. So a lot of times if you go to a game, maybe at a different level, you have this the in-stadium breaks that are, I don't want to say they're confusing, but they don't seem natural.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really seeing a pace here that is phenomenal. And you're also seeing that things like that transparency of the officiating process are really to demonstrate, and again, this isn't something we're just doing by ourselves. These are NFL minds involved in this that have vast experience with some things that may be harder to get done at certain levels, and it's worth taking a try and putting them to the test in this format. And that did seem to resonate a lot with people when they saw that this review process included access to the decision making and to sort of the thoughts in real time as they were occurring. That was something people had not seen, and they welcomed it wholeheartedly. I think the best thing you can do is put this authentic game on the field and then give people windows into that maybe they hadn't experienced before. Again, as opposed to coming up with some other random gimmick that isn't designed to either protect the players or make the game more logical.
Again, we're talking with Din Mann, head of content for the Alliance of American Football. Follow him on Twitter at your peril. What's up with at Moose Out Front, Din?
Well, Michael, it goes way back to a movie that now sadly really, really reflects my age. But it was when Chevy Chase got to Wally World with his family finally after killing Aunt Edna and her dog on the way. They finally got there, and John Candy, may he rest in peace, was there as a security guard, and he says, "Sorry, folks, the park's closed. The Moose Out Front should have told you." And I've always treated Twitter as the place where the Moose Out Front should have told you. So I try to share with you whatever nugget comes my way that I think merits that opportunity to be seen and to enlighten society. So that's what the Moose Out Front does. And if the Moose Out Front doesn't do it or has the wrong message for you, he gets punched in the nose. There's a lot of wisdom in that film, National Lampoon's Vacation.
Does that mean next time I see you, if you say something incorrect, I can punch you in the nose?
I'm always prepared for that. You know that.
Hey, real quick, Din, before you bounce, any chance, I know we don't want to put the cart before the horse and start talking about expanding to other markets, but is that way down the road? Is that even a thought right now? And also, could you ever see an NFL team owning one of these teams and treating it like a farm team?
On the last part, I haven't even heard mention of that. I'm not sure I'd be allowed to say if I have, but I haven't heard mention of that. I'll say that in just an honest moment of exhaustion.
Okay.
The other question is a more interesting question about expansion, because it was difficult to cut some of these players without any question, and there are more players to go around to make this thing viable. But we're two games into the first weekend of a 10-week season of our inaugural season, so it's probably premature to speculate about expansion. But I can tell you there are cities that have raised their hands. There are marketplaces and college atmospheres and college players for this whole sort of allocation system that make a lot of sense for growth to occur. And we would do so if it's the right thing to do. But I wouldn't be surprised if something along those lines happened sooner than later.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I'm a fan. Once I heard it wasn't the XFL, it made me more interested because I thought, okay, maybe they'll pay attention to actual football. And I know that really is the focus at the Alliance is let's give them good football. And if you don't know the names on the field, you certainly know the names of the executives and the coaches. I mean, you got Troy Polamalu, Hines Ward, Mike Martz is the coach in San Diego. So if you need names, they're there. Let them suck you in because I think it is a decent product. I think it's got a chance of surviving. I wish good luck to you, Din. Before you bounce, tell the listeners, give them some website information and also the two games that are going on today and where they can find them.
Well, I'll start with download the Alliance app. It is it's revolutionary technology, and it is it will be a work in progress as all technology is, but this is bleeding edge stuff that these engineers are developing. Second, I'll say that AAF.com, also like every website, is undergoing some I mean, minute by minute updates and changes that we're in. We're excited about all of them.
You can say growing pains. That's all right.
Well, the high class problem is that, you know, people start to come to you and they pay attention. They have certain expectations.
Yeah, right.
So we're trying to deliver on all of those and more, and try to anticipate what the ones that haven't been raised yet. So, you know, we have AAF.com and we have at the AAF on Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook and on YouTube. So, you know, we're everywhere that we hope the fans are, and we're sharing our content with as many people as we can to get it out there. Our partners are fabulous, from Turner and Bleacher Report and VR Live and House of Highlights to CBS and CBS Sports to NFL Network. It's a great list of content partners that we have.
No doubt about it. And the other games today, Dan?
Tonight it's Arizona. Where I am today, and I'm going to go to that game here in a little bit, but we have Arizona playing against Salt Lake, and that's tonight on NFL Network, and we have Birmingham at Memphis starting in about 20 minutes, and they're playing Legion Field, so you talk about the Alabama tradition, everything that goes on there. It's a great, you know, I got to say, it's we're kind of pinching ourselves, and yet every time a team plays a home game, it's 20% of their home schedule. So,
right.
You know, these are chunks of yards that we're going for every week, not inches.
Well,
but I'm anyway, honored to be your guest, and anytime you want me, I'm available. You know that, and I wish you the best of luck too. And let's talk again soon.
Thanks, man. Yeah, so far so good. They're on the right track, no doubt. They've hired the right people, and we will be talking to you soon, Din. Take care.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right, it's Din Mann of the Alliance of American Football. I'd love to hear what you guys think about it. Did you see the game last night? If you did, everybody I've spoken to, everybody says they liked what they saw. And I'll tell you what, the first game I watched of the XFL, I didn't like what I saw. This is about football. I think it's got a shot. What do you think? I'm Michael Urban. We're together until 4 o'clock. We have not yet gotten in to the Bryce Harper sweepstakes. Well, we did a little bit, but we certainly haven't got much into the NBA trade deadline with any sort of depth. That's what we do next. Again, the East is the beast. Should Warriors fans be scared? I'm Michael Urban, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Football isn't over. Football back. It just took a week off. Okay, so there's no Hall of Famers playing in the AAF yet, or are there? It's kind of the first and last chance for some of these guys. Very much appreciated the time given to us by Din Mann, who's the head of content for the Alliance of American Football, which started its season yesterday. So far, so good. Everything I've heard has been positive. And the last time a football league tried to jump off and get something going, it was almost bad reviews from the start before they even took the field, because it was, let's be honest, when you hear the head of the WWE is going to put together a football league, what's the first thing you think of? Oh, it's going to be phony and super inflated, and they surely will not test for steroids in that league. And it failed. It was predictable. They're going to try it again next year, apparently, but I think the AAF has a shot. I would love to hear what you guys think. If you happen to catch Din Mann, if you didn't, I am sure we will get that posted on 957thegame.com sometime soon. Matt is in San Rafael, and he's got some thoughts on the Alliance. What's up, Matt? How are you?
Hey, Herbs. I'm well, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic now that you're with us.
Well, so the thing that I found about this new league that I liked, that was much different from the XFL. The XFL was all about the show, and that annoyed me. I think it annoys most real football fans. You want to watch wrestling, and I got no beef with wrestling. If that's what you want to do, that's fine, but football is not wrestling. But regarding the game, one of the things is it was like football was 3 or 4 years ago, and I felt kind of guilty because when I was seeing them lay the wood, I was like, yeah, I really enjoy watching this. But by the same token, there's a reason why they got rid of those rules. But for now, I'm all in on that. The second thing is that I love the fact that they had the film, the camera in the review booth with the lady who was doing the reviewing and got her dialogue and talking. I don't much care about the coaches talking, but I really like the refs, because you got to see what she was doing in live time, and it was that was really cool. She reversed the call. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that or close to that in the NFL. So I think it's got a chance. My concern is the timing might not be the best because it's right after the NFL ends. They may want to wait a month so people get a little more geeked up for it.
Yeah, I'm sure they had a lot of thought about that, but I think there's also, you know, if you wait a month, then you're going to be competing with the start of the Major League Baseball season, right? And as it is now, they're going to be competing with them a little bit later in the season. But I think the thought process, and I'm just guessing here, Matt, was, well, let's strike while the iron's hot. You know, the NFL has their biggest game, and everyone's, you know, in theory, charged up about the Super Bowl, maybe not with a low-scoring game like that. But the next weekend, they could be thinking, damn, I wish I had another football game to watch. Well, here, you've got a couple football games to watch and games every week. That's my thought to probably why they decided on the timing. But I'm sure they put a lot of consideration into what you're talking about, too, Matt. Thank you for the phone call. All right, that's Matt in San Rafael. If you've got thoughts on whether you think the Alliance of American Football is going to succeed or fail, feel free to give us a call, 888-957-9570, or you can give us your thoughts on the two big topics for the day, which I think are going to carry the day. Warriors always carry the day, right? Giants, they move the needle too, and you attach a premier free agent, even if it's just in rumored form, people are going to perk up. They're going to perk their, what? Giants are going out and getting another. Yeah, good. The Giants always have to have a signature star. And hate to break it to you, Posey fans, but his time as the signature star of the Giants is coming to an end. I'm not going to say this year because I'm going to reserve judgment until I see how he responds to the hip injury and the hip rehab. We all know, if we pay attention to Giants baseball, we all know that his power numbers have been diving for a while, particularly in the second half of seasons. Well, where do you generate your power from? Both in the batter's box and on the pitcher's mound, and as a catcher, pretty reliant on your legs. So if you're not 100% strong in your lower half, and you're a catcher, then it stands to reason, it's a no-brainer that, well, second half of the season, your legs are going to be gassed and you might not have that kind of power. Well, the counter to that is, was there an injury involved? And as weird as it sounds, I was kind of glad to hear that he needed hip surgery. Otherwise, it was just going to be, wow, Buster got average real quick. So I'm willing to give him a shot. But I also think the Giants always need to be mindful of having that guy that your 11-year-old comes to you on Thursday and says, Mom, Dad, my favorite player, X, is going to be in town or just signed with my team. Let's go watch. That's how you get generations back into the game. Baseball is a game passed on from generation to generation. And if you weren't passing it on, then for your family, the line stops there. It's a lot easier to keep that line moving if you've got a Bryce Harper, if you've got a Barry Bonds, if you've got a huge name. That is all that will resonate with kids. And you do need to pass your love of the game on down to the kids. It is your duty. That's pretty dramatic. It's your duty as a baseball fan. He said duty. My daughter, Natalie Urban, would laugh at that. She's not with me. She's at a swim meet right now. Good luck, Natalie. All right, so let's touch on the Bryce Harper here real quick. Because I'm sure what I say is going to aggravate some people. And I'm sure it's going to get some people nodding their heads in agreement. Last year when the Giants were pursuing Giancarlo Stanton, we all knew what the money involved was. That's where that was different than this. He was under contract for a lot of money. Giants went hard after him. I happened to be on the air. I think it was the day after news broke that they had met with him. And both Bobby Evans, the GM at the time, and Bruce Bochy, obviously still the manager, they were good enough to come on the air, and they felt like they had a decent shot, especially Bruce. Well, they didn't get him, and I was glad they didn't get him. I thought it would have been dumb to get him. So why am I all of a sudden thinking it's a good idea for the Giants to pursue and land Harper? It almost seems contradictory, because here's my reason I did not want them to take on Giancarlo Stanton's contract. The reason's pretty obvious, right? You're tying up a lot of money for a lot of years. And for a team that certainly going into last season, we all knew there were holes all over the place. They had so many roster holes. I mean, really, it was a Swiss cheese roster at the big league level. Holes left and right. So my thought was, don't spend all that money on one guy who all he does is hit bombs. Is he a great outfielder? No. He's all right. He's best served as a DH. Is he a great base runner? Nah. Great defender? Nah. Hit for great average? Nah. Nobody cares about batting average anyway. Sadly, I still care about it. I still look at the back of baseball cards. I just didn't think it made sense financially. But now I'm thinking $300 million for 10 years for Bryce. I don't like those terms, but I like the idea of adding Harper. What's the difference, you might ask? And I'm going to ask that question of you. If you were in favor of Giancarlo, I'm guessing you're in favor of pursuing Bryce Harper. If you were against Giancarlo, are you against Bryce? See, I was against Giancarlo, and I'm for Bryce for a few different reasons. One, far more personable, interesting dude. Easier to market around. And that's a reality of pro sports. You have to think in those terms. Not that Giancarlo Stanton's a bad guy, but he doesn't exactly light up a room when he walks into it. He's not a glow guy to me. And if you've listened to the show with any sort of regularity, you know what I think of as a glow guy. Not a glue guy, a glow guy. Yoenis Cespedes, glow guy. Andrew McCutchen, when I first saw him, glow guy. Jed Lowry's not a glow guy. He's a glue guy. The glow guy is the guy that he just looks and feels special, and you can't take your eyes off him. Now, Giancarlo Stanton is quite impressive to look at. He's a very large human being, and he's not unattractive. But he's not a glow guy to me because he's too one-dimensional. And while the Giants still have a Swiss cheese roster, holes galore, I think Bryce Harper would be a great pickup for them. First off, you ever heard people say Bryce Harper's a bad teammate? Other than who's that knucklehead that got in a fight with him? His teammate. I think he got released like two days. Yeah, Jonathan Papelbon. Wipe that smirk off your face. Oh, that used to drive me nuts. Not a Papelbon fan, so it didn't surprise me that he butted heads with Bryce Harper. But Bryce Harper gets after it. There's a criticism of Bryce Harper that he plays too hard. Can you believe that? He plays too hard. He risks injury by playing as hard as he does. Oh, well, if there's an injury risk, better half-ass it. Guess what? You get hurt more when you half-ass it than when you're going balls to the wall. Trust me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.